Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Image A Guide to Pseudo-Events in America is Daniel J. Boorstin's influential work of media and cultural criticism, first published in the early 1960s. It examines how modern American public life is shaped by manufactured events, image making, and the demand for constant news and entertainment. Boorstin argues that many widely circulated happenings are not spontaneous developments, but carefully staged pseudo-events created to attract attention and create the appearance of importance. The book also explores how celebrity culture, political communication, and mass media reinforce one another, often elevating visibility over substance. Rather than treating these trends as isolated problems, Boorstin presents them as part of a broader shift in how Americans understand reality, reputation, and public significance. The result is a sharp analysis of media saturation that remains relevant to discussions of politics, journalism, tourism, and modern fame. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, pseudo-events as manufactured substitutes for genuine news. Boorstin's central idea is that modern audiences often encounter events that are designed primarily to be reported rather than to happen naturally. These pseudo-events include press conferences, photo opportunities, staged ceremonies, and other public acts created with the media in mind. Their importance lies less in what they accomplish than in how well they generate coverage. Boorstin argues that this changes the very meaning of news instead of discovering significant developments. The public is increasingly offered visible, repeatable, and media-friendly performances. This is not just a complaint about journalism style. It is a structural critique of a news environment that demands a constant flow of attention-grabbing material. When real events are infrequent, institutions and public figures learn to manufacture visibility. In Boorstin's account, this makes the news cycle less a record of reality than a system for producing believable-looking substitutes for it. Secondly, celebrity is fame detached from achievement. One of the book's most enduring contributions is Boorstin's definition of a celebrity as a person who is known for being well-known. This formulation captures a shift from older forms of fame, which were usually tied to achievement, talent, or public service, toward a media-based reputation economy. In that system, visibility itself becomes the main asset. Boorstin does not merely criticize individual famous people. He shows how the structure of mass media encourages fame that can circulate independently of substance. As newspapers, television, and publicity systems expand, they reward recognizability, repetition, and image consistency. The result is a culture in which public status can be generated and maintained through exposure alone. This insight remains important because it explains why celebrity culture can thrive even when the underlying accomplishment is modest or unclear. Boorstin presents celebrity not as a side effect of media society, but as one of its defining products. Thirdly, politics shaped by publicity rather than public action. Boorstin devotes serious attention to the effect of pseudo-events on political life. He argues that political figures increasingly operate in an environment where appearance, timing, and media resonance matter as much as policy or governing capacity. Public officials learn to stage events that look active, decisive, and newsworthy, even when the substance is limited. This can create the impression of political momentum without corresponding real change. In Boorstin's analysis, the danger is not only manipulation by politicians, but also the willingness of media systems to reward spectacle over explanation. Politics becomes easier to consume when reduced to images, gestures, and short narratives. But that convenience can weaken democratic judgment. Citizens may recognize names and scenes without understanding consequences or policies. Boorstin therefore treats political publicity as more than a communication tactic. It is part of a broader erosion of meaningful public discourse, where being seen doing politics starts to replace doing politics itself. Fourthly, image culture and the distortion of reality. The book argues that modern media do not simply report reality. They increasingly organize how reality is perceived. Boorstin is concerned with the power of images, repetition, and mediated representation to displace direct experience. As public life becomes more saturated with pictures, headlines, and symbols, people may begin to respond more strongly to what seems significant than to what is actually significant. This is why the book remains associated with later discussions of hyperreality, even though Boorstin himself wrote before that term became common. His concern is not that images are false in every case, but that they can become more compelling than the events they represent. Once this happens, institutions, politicians, journalists, and audiences all adapt to the logic of appearance. Boorstin's analysis is especially useful because it avoids a simplistic claim that media lie all the time. Instead, he shows how media can create a parallel order of visibility that quietly reorganizes what people treat as important, real, and socially meaningful. Lastly, how pseudo-events extend into travel, culture, and everyday experience. Although the book is often remembered for its political and media criticism, Boorstin applies the concept of pseudo-events more broadly across American life. He shows that the same logic shaping news and politics also affects travel, tourism, and cultural consumption. People increasingly seek places, experiences, and activities because they have already been publicized, photographed, or made famous in advance. In this sense, modern experience becomes circular. We go to see what has already been presented to us as worth seeing. Borsten's treatment of travel is especially revealing because it shows how mediated expectation can replace discovery. Instead of encountering the unfamiliar, people are drawn toward familiar images they already know from publicity. This broadens the book's argument beyond journalism and politics into a critique of modern consumption itself. Pseudo-events are not merely fake news items. They are part of a larger culture in which prepackaged significance shapes what people want to notice, visit, and remember. In conclusion, The Image: A Guide to Pseudo-Events in America is best suited for readers interested in media studies, political communication, sociology, cultural criticism, and the history of American public life. It is especially valuable for anyone trying to understand why modern institutions often prioritize visibility, branding, and constant publicity over direct substance. Borsten's writing remains useful because he identifies patterns that predate but strongly anticipate contemporary media culture, including celebrity branding, staged political messaging, and attention-driven news cycles. Readers will benefit from its ability to clarify how public perception can be shaped by manufactured events that feel important precisely because they are designed for exposure. What makes the book stand out is not just its critique of media excess, but the precision of its central concept. Pseudo-event is a compact and durable term that still explains a wide range of public phenomena. Compared with broader books on propaganda or media manipulation, Borsten's work is sharper in diagnosing how modern societies generate significance through performance. It remains one of the foundational texts for understanding the politics of image and the cultural logic of publicity. If you would like to support Daniel J. Borsten, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.